Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for February 26th, 2023 is based on Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is, Who Will You Listen To? An introduction to our gospel reading. Jesus experiences anew the temptations that Israel faced in the wilderness. As the Son of God, he endures the testing of the evil one. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again, it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. You, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, God made fully human and fully divine. Amen. If you were here for or tuned in to our Ash Wednesday service, you may have heard that I started my sermon with a poem from one of the creators of our Lenten theme, which is on the front of your bulletin, seeking honest questions for deeper faith. Her poems are so stirring and thought-provoking that I plan to share them at the start of my sermon, each of my sermons during this season of Lent. And so this poem is entitled, Who Will You Listen To? By Reverend Sarah Speed. Twitter or the BBC, the ads on late night television, the wind as she blows, the echo of children playing, the quiet of snow, the ice bucket challenge, the phone when it rings, your pastor, your mother, your doctor, your gut, the tension in your shoulders, the restaurant singing happy birthday, audiobooks, TED Talks, the rhythm of the music, the coffee drip in the morning, your therapist, the wisdom of the Enneagram, the way your heart comes alive when you're being creative, the man on the corner asking for change, the kid on the subway selling chocolate, the labels on the makeup bottle that promise timeless beauty, the magazines that tell you you need timeless beauty, astrology, the Dow Jones, the hiss of the radiator, the pitter-patter of little feet, financial advisors, the top 40 pop, the top 40 country, the New York Times, the rumor mill, the Book of Psalms, your sense of self, Jesus when he says, I am with you always. There are so many voices that vie for our attention. And when there are so many perspectives pulling at us from every direction, how do we know to whom we should listen? Our two stories today seem to make it sound like it should be easy to figure out who we should or should not listen to. In our first story from Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, Eve encounters a talking serpent. I don't know about you, but if a talking animal comes up to me, I'm hightailing it out of there. And in an even easier case, for Jesus, if the devil appears to me, a little man who's red and horns and a tail and a pitchfork, you better believe I'm not sticking around to see what this guy has to say. If these scenarios were as obvious as the writers make them appear to be, then why do Adam and Eve give in to the temptation? And why does Jesus even entertain the temptation? Looking deeper into our story from Genesis, interestingly, there is actually nothing there that says that the serpent is evil or the devil, just that it is a crafty animal. And when it comes to the word used for the devil in our Matthew reading, it's not the same Greek word as Satan, which appears in the New Testament. Here, the root meaning of the word devil means the accuser or the slanderer. There are some theologians out there who would argue that Jesus is not being tempted here by a literal evil devil, but he is actually wrestling with his humanity and its desire to dominate and control rather than living out God's will. It is a moment where his identity as the Son of Man and God incarnate are in tension with one another, and he is actually trying to figure out if those two things can live in harmony. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not telling you there's a right or wrong way to believe whether there was an actual physical devil there tempting Jesus or if it was an internal battle. Because I would argue that it doesn't matter. Because either way, it does not change the fact that this temptation of Jesus is a key moment where we see Jesus live into his identity of who he is and whose he is. You may have heard that phrase before. I'm not sure exactly where it originated, but often people are told this phrase, remember who you are and whose you are. First, who you are, who we are. In this story of Jesus' temptation, he is told, if you are the Son of God, do these things. It's like he is being told, prove yourself. But Jesus doesn't need to prove to anyone that he is the Son of God if he knows that he is the Son of God. He's strong in his identity of who he is. And while we are not the Son of God, who we are the beloved children of God. If we know that we are God's beloved children and that God's promises of love and grace and forgiveness are for us, then it greatly changes how we live out our identity. We no longer have to worry if we're doing enough to be loved by God. We don't have to worry if we've been good enough, if we have enough Bible verses memorized, if we've been to church enough times this month, if we've said enough prayers this week. When we know that we are God's beloved children, it frees us to work alongside God without the constant fear of wondering if we're doing enough. That brings us to the second part of this identity equation, whose you are. whose we are. What does it mean to belong to something? Usually it means you give up something in order to become part of something larger. When we belong to God, it means when given the opportunity, we choose to do things according to God's will for humanity. When Jesus is tempted, what is his response each time? He quotes something from Scripture, God's word. He could have given his own answer, but he knows what God would want him to do for the betterment of all of God's kingdom. Sometimes we are called to do the same thing. In big ways and in small ways, when the opportunities present themselves. We could hoard all of our own food and throw it away when the expiration dates hit. But sometimes we give up some of our food to help feed families in need through things like Family Promise and the Lebanon Food Pantry. We could use all of our free time binge-watching shows on Netflix, but sometimes we give up some of our time to help others, like rehabbing homes in Appalachia or other mission trips. We could get revenge because we think it would feel good, but sometimes we walk away from an argument because hurting someone else isn't how God would want us to treat our neighbor. Who we are and whose we are. Jesus shows us that at times it is difficult to remember who we are and whose we are. But the good news is that the cross of our baptism daily reminds us who we are. That mark of the cross is a mark that does not go away. Just as the love of God does not go away. We are God's beloved children, created in the image of God and created for good works. And whenever we stumble and lose sight of whose we are, allowing worldly desires to control us rather than allowing God's direction, we are reminded that God is there for us always, ready to love, forgive, and remind us that God is speaking to us in numerous ways. Are we ready to listen? In this season of Lent, who will you listen to? Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.